brought to you on UK Health Radio, The Natural Beauty Show, an in-depth look at the beauty issues that affect you. This is probably one of the most important shows we've produced so far. The knowledge, passion, and education offered by our guest today should be absorbed, seriously considered, and embraced by all of humanity. Today we are discussing climate change and are joined by the remarkable Melanie Bender to discuss the sort of change that needs to happen on a global level immediately. It's true, we can never unhear things that upset us, but what we can do is let these emotions charge us into positive action.
If we push past 1.5 degrees in warming, 1.7 billion people globally will be at risk of water insecurity. 1.3 billion globally will be at risk of extreme heat events. 1 billion children globally will be extremely at risk. Needing to cut global emissions in half over the next 9 years, that comes down to what we do within the next year. Running out of time, and people are finally getting it. We can be a part of leading what is without doubt the most greatest issue that we will face as a generation. Because really there is no more finite resource than this earth.
Joining us now is Melanie Bender, who's the president of beauty brand Vest, and she's also the trailblazing leader of the Code Red for Climate movement, which saw over 100 beauty brands join together in a stance against governments and urging them to really take some drastic action against climate or much needed climate change movements. So welcome to the show, Melanie. It's absolutely lovely to have you here. I really think it's no accident that we're talking to you today, obviously with COP26 busy going on at the moment, and I really want to spend quite a lot of time talking about the measures that you've put in place through the Code Red for Climate movement. But first of all, let's get to know a bit more about you and the beauty brand that you're a president of, Vest. So tell me a bit about Vest and the ethos behind the beauty brand.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me, Natalie. It's really wonderful to be here and share what we're all about. Our mission is to make good skin and clean skincare for everyone. We are just about 2.5 years old, so certainly a young brand, but really look at ourselves as the democratizer of access to skincare. And the jumping off point was really out of our sister brand, Who What Wear, which is one of the largest beauty and fashion media sites in the US and the UK. And, you know, there was very, very clearly this this picture of have and have not around skincare. If folks were in those metropolitan areas, if they had high household income, if they had maybe a best friend who was an esthetician or really in the know, they felt pretty confident about what they were putting on their skin and how to deal with dark spots, how to deal with hormonal acne. And then when we shifted gears to speak to, you know, a real cross section of the country, that was a very different picture. People felt very confused by skincare, by what all this ingredient stuff meant. And particularly when it came to movements around ingredient safety, around ethical positioning, they really didn't feel like that was for them. It could be because they didn't have, you know, enough discretionary income to drop $200, $300, $500 on a skincare regimen. It could be because they didn't have the right retailers within their cities. You know, in the U.S., the movement really started at amazing retailers like Credo Beauty and moved to Sephora. But the reality is that the majority of the U.S. population doesn't even have a Sephora in their city. You know, finally, I think one of the barriers that we uncovered was also how those brands are talking to people and in fact, who they might be leaving out. So how we educate our consumer and ultimately, who do we look to as being the communities that we want to include? That was really the jumping off point for Vest. And, you know, we have a very, very clear mission to make good skin and clean products accessible for everyone. Accessible in terms of, you know, where we're sold, we're really easy to get to. We're now in over 3,600 stores globally, including Boots in the UK. All of our products are sold for under $25. So very easy to build a full skin regimen. And most of all, you know, I think we really look to ourselves as a democratizer of education and making it really simple to figure out the right products for you, what all this ingredient stuff means, and also being proactive about including traditionally underrepresented communities in everything about our brand. So we're breaking down all those barriers that have typically really kept people out of that movement.
Yeah, sure. And consumers are getting, you know, whether it's in the United States or in the United Kingdom, actually, and Europe wide as well, you know, consumers are becoming much more savvy now, aren't they, with understanding what ingredients are in their products. And actually, they have a lot more concern for the types of ingredients that they're placing onto their bodies. And you talk about your products being clean. Are there certain ingredients that you would eliminate, you wouldn't use within your formulas?
Yeah. And I think, you know, you're absolutely right. That is, it is this really tremendous renaissance, I think, of curiosity and really looking at what we're putting, not just in our bodies, but also on our bodies, knowing that so much of that is absorbed into our bloodstream. You know, at Verst, we have taken a very research-backed position in terms of how we define clean. And I think, you know, there certainly is a huge amount of customer interest in it, but unfortunately, some of the information that's out there, and in fact, I think a lot of the information that's out there is just not reliable. It's just not backed by data and research. And that was how we really wanted to draw our lines. I think when you look at every possible ingredient that you could put into a skincare product, there are the ingredients that are proven to be unsafe. Mm-hmm. There are the ingredients that are proven to be safe. And then there's everything in between. Yeah. And I think that gray area is where people get tripped up. It doesn't mean that those ingredients are toxic. It means that we don't know. We don't know the impacts of using them regularly on our bodies. So at Verst, we take the stance of, hey, we're going to operate with what's proven safe. There are amazing ingredients that have also been around for a really long time. So we know exactly the benefits they have for skin. Ingredients like your hyaluronic acids, your AHAs, your BHAs, your retinols. We can drive wonderful skin benefits with just those. We choose not to operate in the gray area. You know, I think being in the UK and EU, you have a benefit of a lot more regulation and direction from your governments on what is safe to use within cosmetic products. It's quite a significant difference than what's regulated in the US and the EU and UK. As you know, it's over 1,300 ingredients. In the US, it's around 15. So we do look to EU and UK standards as really the baseline in terms of what is proven to be safe. We also add to that list based on ingredients that are maybe common skin allergens. So a lot of the artificial colors and fragrances that go into products, they can actually be problematic for people who have sensitized or sensitive skin. And then we also formulate free from ingredients that are known to be comedogenic, known to clog pores and exacerbate acne. So things like your silicones, there's actually quite a long list of those. So that together comprises our clean list. It's something like over 1,400 ingredients. And really, it represents ingredients that we know are healthy for skin and we know are healthy for bodies.
Yeah, sure. It just seems crazy when you sort of talk about figures like that. You know, you've got over 1,400 ingredients that you've got access to that you know are safe because they've been proven to be safe. And one of the frustrations that a lot of brands have that are trying to get into that clean bracket and trying to be really transparent with their customers, the frustrations around greenwashing and cleanwashing. Do you experience that a lot with other brands you come across? Does that frustrate you as a brand that's really trying to do it better?
I would have to say yes. But you know, I do think with all brands, it comes from a desire to really do better. Yeah. And you know, I think we might see different data, we might have landed in different positions, but what we share is really that that interest and commitment to making beauty work better for the end consumer. You know, I think that there's a lot more awareness over clean washing and greenwashing, you know, and you know, it happens in the trickier ways when you get called out on social media. I think there's also now a season of just a lot more sharing and consensus between brands as to what we know and what we don't. You know, again, at Verst, we always look to peer-reviewed consensus-driving research, and that is how we draw our lines. And I think there are certainly different positions out there, I think, especially when it comes to clean. And I think I really encourage all brands to really look at research, look at data, and make their own decision. I tell you one thing that frustrates me more specific to clean is when I hear other brands say, well, you know, clean is table stakes. Everything out there, it's already been done. What are we going to focus on next? And the reality is that if you're feeling that clean is table stakes, you should be looking at who's around the table. Because I think as a founder, as someone with high access, it's very easy to see a sea of clean products around you. But in reality, especially within the US and other regions, the majority of products that are still being marketed to women for use in beauty have problematic ingredients. And that that likelihood only goes up when their products marketing to communities of color. There's data out there from the EWG showing that over 75% of products marketed to Black women have these problematic ingredients, and that's a 38% higher likelihood than products that are marketed to white women. So a lot of the fantastic innovation has been done, that's true, but we also cannot forget the innovation of accessibility. And you know, when you look at any fantastic life-changing technology out there, there tends to be the groups that actually invented it, and then there are the groups that made it accessible for everyone. And I really encourage brands, and it's something that we really look at Verse, how do we make these products, these principles, these results, this health and safety, something that we believe should belong to everyone? How do we break down those barriers and make it more accessible? One of the stats that I really love to look to is for 30% of our consumers at Verse, we're the very first clean skincare purchase they've ever made. They have never before had that access, never before made welcome into the movement. So that's something that, you know, I'm putting out there because I want us all to be holding ourselves accountable to who are we counting, who are we speaking to, and who might we be leaving out by not having that clear picture?
Yeah, I think that's a really positive attitude to have. Let's talk a bit more about you and your background. Have you always been in the beauty industry? Is this something that's...
Natalie.
where did it all begin for you?
Well, I'm the child of a marine biologist. I grew up in the most isolated island chain on the planet, the islands of Hawaii. I did my degree in global environmental science and my thesis studying the impacts of climate on coral reef ecosystems. So, you know, it was clearly headed in a very specific direction that wasn't beauty at the time. You know, I was someone that really came up in sustainability and loved so much about what that field stands for. And, you know, especially just the tie to humanity, that every single thing that you hold dear, that I hold dear within this world, it is reliant on the planet. And, you know, once I started to understand more about how we were pushing that system to the brink, it felt urgent and important to become involved in. You know, I've also always had a real love for beauty and fashion because of the emotionally driven nature of those industries. You know, when I wanted to express myself, to feel something, to say something, I really looked to, you know, how did I style my clothes, my makeup? So I think they started as very different parts of my life and my interests. And over time, I was able to bring them together, always with this tie of, you know, it's about that end consumer, it's about that end person, and really connecting with them through products, but also through principles and values. So I began to transition into marketing and brand building a little bit over a decade ago. My first business that I co-founded was in the marketing space, building brands through digital communities and the emerging digital landscape. And that was what ultimately got me into beauty, working with amazing companies like Sephora and Makeup Forever. And from there, I just got really excited about building brands. I did that in a number of different capacities. In-house with beauty manufacturers on the retail side, before ultimately joining Who What Wear, which again was this tremendous media company that had an interest in building brands and being able to do that with them. So I've had my fingers in many, many different sides, and I recognize that certainly for a beauty leader, I have a rather unconventional background. I think it's really served me well in that, you know, it lets me look at things through that lens of you know, science and really using data to help answer questions, help form your hypothesis, and ultimately, you know, kind of use that to drive results and findings. And of course, more specifically with sustainability, I recognize that it's given me a very different outlook and approach than I think is the norm within beauty. You know, as someone who's been in sustainability now for almost 20 years, I can really feel that we're at this incredible inflection point, the steepest point of the curve in what looks like hyperbolic growth of both consumers and businesses really being committed to being a part of that change. I think what we have to be really honest with ourselves about is that when we are newer to a movement and newer to a field, that means we don't know as much. And, you know, I think where I see challenges for the beauty industry and for the beauty consumer as well is either misinformation or not looking at the full picture, getting very focused on kind of smaller parts without being able to piece together all the different considerations that really impact us. And one of the things that, you know, I really like to have conversation around is, and was truly the jumping off point for Code Red for Climate, is how are we defining sustainability? How are we setting our priorities? You know, in beauty, we love to talk about landfill waste, and landfill waste is certainly an issue that impacts so many of us and will be a scar that we're leaving on the planet. But I think we all know that climate is a code red. Climate is what is truly one of the greatest issues that we will face. And I ask that question to beauty founders, you know, do you believe that climate change is one of the greatest threats to humanity? And every single person I've asked that to has said yes. And yet I know that if we look at our sustainability programs, where are we making investments? Where are we talking to our consumer? That will not be reflected.
But do you think that's because people don't know where to begin? It's such a huge issue, isn't it? It's so difficult. And it's almost like you need to be brought together as a group to try and formulate some sort of realistic movement against it.
Not a lot of And I think there are maybe two main things shaping it. And one is, it is both incredibly big and it feels very much out of your control, out of your reach. When you take the idea of landfill waste and how you can hold an empty component in your hand, it's easy to visualize and it's easy to understand how you are contributing to that. And I think that is certainly something that makes climate change a difficult and daunting thing to take on. I think the other thing that I observe is our consumer fanaticism with landfill waste and how passionate that they are about that. And that is where I want to ask brands, how are you defining sustainability and who are you defining it for? Because when we define it in terms of a customer who we all know has privilege, if they're spending hundreds of dollars a year on beauty, that is a customer of privilege. And, you know, I do feel like if you're in a position of saying, hey, the thing that I am most up in arms around when it comes to our planet is plastic on my beaches, is seeing waste in my roadways, that is someone who is not going to be left homeless by climate change. That is someone who is not going to be facing water insecurity. That is someone who is not going to see their children in extreme threat. And while the beauty consumer in the US and UK might be able to say that, there are billions of people throughout the world who cannot. So I think that's where, you know, we typically look to our consumer to define a lot about our brand. I think we need to be very mindful of how we're defining sustainability and really who are we defining that for.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
We're back now with Melanie Bender, and let's continue exploring climate change and what that means for us all.
Unfortunately, there is a disconnect between the majority of the population believing that government should be doing more to address climate change and what's actually being legislated. It's not enough to care. We must act, and we must act together. our ability to hit these targets, to take ourselves back on a path to a stable climate, it will come down to the next year. We're past the point of little changes getting us there. And I think that's a really stark truth that we have to hear.
The beauty industry always actually has had a role in political movements anyway. If we think back to Anita Roddick of The Body Shop, you know, she was really at the forefront of taking beauty and saying, hey, there's something wrong here. And, well, you need to wake up to some quite disastrous procedures that are being allowed to just happen. And we saw that with her fight against testing on animals. And the result was monumental. It really started to change mindsets and change consumer habits. Consumers suddenly became more aware of what they were purchasing, and the pressure was on all of the brands really to make those changes. So let's talk about Code Red for Climate and what you wanted to achieve with that, bringing those brands together. And what do you think that political movement has been as a result?
You know, it started with a lot of reflection earlier in the year that, you know, as an industry, let's face it, we've been part of the problem of really building up a lot of consumer demand and not taking that accountability for our business. And when the latest IPCC report came out, it really felt like a change in culture, like a change in how we thought about the urgency around climate change and our role in it. And to me, that felt like not only an opportunity, but a true need as we're staring down a timeline of needing to cut global emissions in half over the next 9 years. That comes down to what we do within the next year, because those changes need to be made at a societal level. I, as Melanie Bender, or even my brand as Verst, cannot have that impact alone. We need to act, and most specifically, we need the governments of the largest contributors to be acting. And it was really with that recognition that we're running out of time and people are finally getting it, that it felt like the time to come together. And it really started very simply with a text to one other founder, to Joe, the founder of Use to the People, who's an incredible leader, you know, a brand that everyone looks to, but also a lot of social accountability. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, I have this crazy idea. I want to blackhead the beauty industry for a day and use it to mobilize action around climate change. Will you do it with me? And he said, yes. And from there, we started texting different brands and founders. We had about 45 days to pull it together. We crossed the finish line with actually over 250 brands, wow. Everyone from Milk Makeup to Briogeo, Uoma, Elf Cosmetics, you know, certainly a long list of the most influential brands within beauty. And the emphasis was really to use that space that we occupy as an industry to mobilize the climate solutions that are so critically needed, taking accountability for our own businesses and the role we play in it, but also using that influence that we have directly with our representatives, as well as with our communities, to advocate for that responsibility at the lawmaker level. And that was really the jumping off point for it. And I think the number of brands that came together absolutely exceeded what I thought would be possible. And it's a real testament to who we are as an industry. And I agree that we are powerful. I agree that we can play a role in change at the greatest level. And it's because we're a commercial powerhouse. I mean, we certainly know that. But I think even beyond that, we're influencers. When we look at how many people as brands we speak to on a daily basis and how much they trust us. Yeah. And I think, you know, even more so, we're an industry of hope. That's, to me, one of the really defining characteristics of beauty, that we see the world not for what it is, but for what we want it to be. And, you know, for that reason, I really feel like we can be a part of leading what is almost without doubt the most greatest issue that we will face as a generation.
Mm. What were the outcomes of that blackout? So how long did it last? It was a day of all websites were taken down and blacked out. I mean, for people in the UK, this isn't something that we're familiar with, you know, for brands to be doing things like this. You know, actually, if things go down, generally you're thinking, our server's gone down, this is terrible, I feel really bad for them. But to actually consciously stop your business for a day, is that literally what everyone joined together and did?
Yeah, you know, everyone did join together in taking that space, and I left it up to the brands how they wanted to participate. So over 250 participated on social media with a blackout and putting up calls to action with education. A number of us also did shut down our websites. And you know, for me, where there's the greatest opportunity for impact is not when you get the brands that are already talking about climate change or already talking about sustainability back up there on the bandwagon. It's when you get every single brand. So to me, that flexibility and inclusion of the movement is what was so important. And where I think, you know, the data point that says it all is of all the brands that participated in it, the one that drove the single most engagement was e.l.f. Cosmetics, was a brand that, you know, probably isn't out there talking about these things every day. And to me, that's very representative of climate change. You know, this isn't an issue of sustainability. This is an issue of global health. This is an issue of human rights. This is an issue of the legacy that we leave to our future generations and giving them the right to live a life that looks remotely like our own. And it was that breadth of the issue that I think we really captured through the movement.
And what was the response from customers and followers on social media when everything went back up? What was the dialogue like?
You know, I think it was a start, and I have to be honest that it's only a start. You know, even with 250 brands working so hard together over those days, you know, we reached 4 million people on social media. We drove over 150,000 interactions with their content, which is more than the votes that decided the 2020 election in the US. You know, even with that amount of mass, it really is just a start. To me, the greatest outcome is how our industry came together and how ready we are as founders and leaders to step into this role that we occupy of influencers, of change makers, and take this issue up for the long haul. And for me, a really important part of the initiative was a pledge that we signed together as brands, pledging to take responsibility for our own climate impacts, pledging to continue to advocate for the policy that's needed from lawmakers, pledging to continue to put out reliable education to our communities and our employees. And I give our industry and my peers a huge amount of credit for being ready, for knowing that none of us are perfect. And when it comes to climate change, that is without a doubt that is true. You know, none of us are at the end, but we all are on that journey together.
Yeah, I mean, you've said some really important things there. That's so important for consumers and brands alike, really. You know, we don't have the answers. We've never been in this situation before, but we're in it together globally. And it's just taking those baby steps, isn't it? It's just being brave enough to join together and to just put your brand out there, put your consumer choice into a better brand, and hopefully things will start to change. I mean, what now for that initiative? So, you know, it was dramatic, it made an impact. Is there anything else that's resulted from what you guys all did?
Yeah, so we've actually taken that group of brands and rolled it into an always-on working group. It's called Planet A. Planet A is a group of brands and people that are committed to making climate cool because there is no Planet B. And with that group, we're advancing a lot of those, you know, those initiatives within the pledge that we talked about. There's a cohort of brands that are committed to becoming climate neutral. There's a group of brands that are committed to making this movement for climate action a sustainable and just movement. There's a cohort of brands that are looking at how do we have an impact beyond our direct emissions? How do we have an impact on our industry as a whole, looking to our manufacturers, our retailers, our ingredient providers, and getting them on a path to more renewable energy and lessened footprint. And I think another really important aspect is the continued advocacy of lawmakers. This Code Red for Climate initiative made it all the way to the White House and has had over 1,300 touch points with members of the US Congress, including letters and phone calls and meetings. So, you know, we see our opportunity to continue driving this change at a macro level that's so important. But we also want to be taking care of our own footprints, to taking care of our own industry, and really positioning beauty as the industry leader in this climate responsibility that hopefully every other industry out there can learn from.
I mean, you're an incredibly inspiring character, and obviously your background, actually, even though it wasn't directly linked to beauty, the mix is perfect, isn't it? That whole environmental science background, the whole idea of sustainability, the mix, bringing it together, has given you a real opportunity to create a brilliant platform for beauty to respond to this. But who did you look to growing up? Did you have any heroines, any heroes that you really followed?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. You know, I think definitely, of course, my dad shaped a lot about how I look at the world. And, you know, I think even drilling it into my head that science and math is for girls, I think that was a huge influence on me. And ultimately, you know, why I saw myself as belonging in those fields. I think another real influence on my life was the culture in Hawaii. Mm. As I shared, you know, it's the most isolated island chain on the planet. It's also, as the Native Hawaiian culture has been an incredible trailblazer in terms of principles of sustainability, as so many of our indigenous communities around the world are. Before, you know, the tragedy of colonialism, they were supporting close to 1 million people on the islands of Hawaii through really advanced systems that looked at, you know, how the environment as a whole is managed. And I think growing up in a place of incredible beauty, but also incredible scarcity, is the perfect metaphor for this planet that we all share. Because really, there is no more finite resource than this earth.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
What next for Verst? I mean, you've got quite an extensive product range. Like you say, it's so accessible to people on lower incomes, which is really important. Actually, next week I'm going to be talking about poverty and hygiene poverty, you know, people that just can't afford the very basics of self-care. Forget makeup, you know, forget the glossy end of the spectrum. You know, we're talking about the real basic stuff here. But so what next for Verst? I mean, it's clearly a really accessible brand. I mean, people in the UK, you mentioned it's sold in Boots, and it's an exciting brand, and it pops out on the shelves, and it's really appealing to the younger buyer. Have you got any new and exciting products on the line?
Yeah, you know, one of the products that we just launched is one that we're so proud of, our out of sight dark spot gel. And you know, hyperpigmentation, dark spots, whether it's left from sun damage or acne, is such a common concern that our community has. And typically the products that use for that are really problematic. Hydroquinone is one of the most common ingredients, which is a known toxin. So that is a launch that we're incredibly proud of, that has been the number one item on our site since launching. And, you know, we really look to more products like that. I think the last thing we need to do at Verst is put out something that already exists. Mm-hmm. We really try to find that white space, to find that area of need that, you know, there aren't solutions that exist affordably and with clean ingredients. And that's where we love to operate. I'd say, you know, acne is another concern that we've really loved to be in and create solutions in that are cleaner, that are better for your skin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in reality, I look at everything I put on my body, and a lot of that happens below the neck. I think that's another really exciting area of opportunity. I know I've got all kinds of sun damage and, you know, dull skin on my elbows and knees and whatnot. And putting a lot of product that's probably being absorbed and probably doesn't have the cleanest, healthiest ingredients. So we're also excited about the neck down. And I think another really important thing to us is democratizing that access to education. More and more, we're working with dermatologists to have them be the people that are speaking about the principles, the ideas, how to build a regimen. Again, really putting trusted, science-backed voices and information out there is really how we look to broaden the movement. And of course, more accessibility, reaching more people from our digital flagship, verskin.com, as well as more incredible retail partners that are really committed to bringing these clean, results-driven products to more and more people who need them.
Yeah. I mean, retailers are definitely opening their eyes now, aren't they, to this whole movement of clean and realizing that actually consumers, if they can get their hands on more clean products, that is what they want. And so what retailers can we find your brand in?
Yeah. So in the United States, we're in every single Target location. We're also in Shoppers Drug Mart in Canada. As I shared, we're in Boots in the UK. We're also with Cult Beauty and Revolve, who both ship globally.
Brilliant. So there's plenty of opportunity. And on your own website, is there a lot of this education piece on there? Can people go there to learn a bit more about the information
you're
giving today?
Absolutely. We have a Good Skin blog, which breaks down so many of the most common questions. And also on every single PDP, we make it really easy to, and that's every single product page.
Yeah.
We make it really easy to understand what's in the product. How do you incorporate it to your regimen? How do you ensure it's right for your concerns? And also, you know, for end of life, how do you recycle it? How do you understand the footprint behind the product? So we have a lot of rich content out there and certainly on our social platforms as well. Also on TikTok, we have our Verse Skin School. Mm-hmm. It's been a real focus of skin education. And again, let's put that trusted, results-driven content out there. So I encourage everyone to check that out as well.
Just to sort of end, really, you know, I couldn't urge people enough to go and take that education. If they've got the time to go and have a quick read up, you know, before you purchase your products, have a look into that education, especially behind the clean beauty. I mean, when I first started my clean beauty journey, I was pretty daunted for a start. I didn't know where to begin. And so having a bit of a scientific brain similar to yours, I thought I'm going to look into how many products I actually put on my body from the moment I wake up until the moment I step outside the door to trot off to work or college or wherever I was going at the time. And I realised I was putting around 35 products on my body, on my skin, from waking up to walking out the door. And so, you know, looking then at the ingredients, you're talking hundreds, if not thousands of ingredients that I was placing on my body. So really understanding what they are and actually being able to make the choice on which ones I choose not to put on my body is so important, isn't it? It's massively important. How do you feel about that?
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I'm someone that's maybe close to our consumer in that it has to work for me. If I have a huge pimple and I'm forced to choose between something that's clean or something that's going to make that sucker go down before my next Zoom call, you know, it's a position that you don't want to be in. So we really look to product results first, knowing that if it works, that is an opportunity to bring more people into clean. That is an opportunity to bring more people into sustainability.
Yeah.
But certainly, certainly encourage everyone to really look at that information and drive for that that research, that consensus. Another thing that I love to put out there to help have an impact, and it's completely free, is call your lawmakers. Know who is making these policies specifically around climate change at a local, national level. You have representatives, you have a voice. And, you know, unfortunately, there is a disconnect between the majority of the population believing that government should be doing more to address climate change and what's actually being legislated. We need to close that gap. It is not enough to care. We must act, and we must act together. So I encourage everyone, if you care, if this is something that's important to you, if you want to pass on a world to our future generations that, you know, is not rife with famine and water insecurity and some of the really incredibly devastating effects of climate change, you need to make your voice heard. In terms of just the pure numbers, if we push past 1.5 degrees in warming, 1.7 billion people globally will be at risk of water insecurity. 1.3 billion globally will be at risk of extreme heat events. 1 billion children globally will be extremely at risk. with over 1 million species that are also at risk of extinction. So the time is really now. It is upon us. And I really do believe that we will remember the decisions that we make around climate change, because they will haunt us for generations. So now is the time to take action. If you've done the good thing, if you've made your voice heard, then it's time to call five friends, say, hey, I know you care about this too. Have you made the call? Have you spoken to your lawmakers? Our ability to hit these targets, to take ourselves back on a path to a stable climate, it will come down to the next year.
On a more practical level, I mean, if people are a bit nervous about, you know, reaching out to lawmakers, or they don't even know where to begin for that, and maybe that's going to take them a little bit of time to put that in place, what simple things can people do every day? What little changes can people make that are going to start to really make an impact, make a difference if groups of us come together and start doing this?
Yeah. So I'm going to be honest, we're past the point of little changes getting us there. And I think that's a really stark truth that we have to hear. You know, I know we love the idea of progress over perfection, but there are timelines that are quite dire. And unfortunately, we have known about climate change for now over 30 years, and we have done far, far too little. So there are certainly things that you can do at home. I know for me in Los Angeles, I was able to switch over my power source to renewable energy. I did that through my local energy provider. So I encourage everyone to get in contact with their local energy provider, understanding what renewable energy sources are available. A huge amount of the energy that we consume comes through our home. And if that switches over to renewable, then that entire climate footprint is really averted. Of course, how we use transportation is incredibly important. If you don't have an electric vehicle or a hybrid, think about where you can walk, where you can bike, how you can carpool. Other really large drivers are air travel. So, you know, think carefully about how you're getting places, as well as the heating and cooling within our homes. If it's in winter right now, see if you can tick down that thermostat a few degrees and save some of the energy consumption there. But really, and I can't underscore this enough, if we want to get there in time, it needs to happen at the societal level. The only way is through our government's leading. So do the things at home. It's meaningful to take that personal responsibility, but know that to have the impact, you need to make your voice heard. You need to be represented by our lawmakers.
Well, thank you, Melanie. That's amazing advice, and from someone really knowledgeable and understanding what they're talking about as well. Thanks so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I've learned an awful lot, and I hope that my listeners have too.
Thank you so much, Natalie. It was wonderful to be here. I appreciate you also shining light on these really important issues.
Well, I think you'll agree that the information we've learned here today is both emotive and important. My own brand, Sacred, has already signed up to the Planet A Consortium, and you can follow our journey and input via our social media at We Are Sacred and our website, sacred.com. Remember to find that one thing you can do to contribute towards, as Melanie put it, the tide of humanity. The next 12 months is without a doubt crucial.
Needing to cut global emissions in half over the next 9 years, that comes down to what we do within the next year. We're running out of time, and people are finally getting it. How are we defining sustainability? How are we setting our priorities? I think we all know that climate is a code red. This is an issue of global health. This is an issue of human rights. This is an issue of the legacy that we leave to our future generations and giving them the right to live a life that looks remotely like our own. If we want to get there in time, it needs to happen at the societal level. I really do believe that we will remember the decisions that we make around climate change, because they will haunt us for generations.
Listen to The Natural Beauty Show on UK Health Radio.